Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. On Monday, May the 19th, coming up, our campaign calling for reform to the blue badge system is raised in the Commons. The route for this year's Baton of Hope in Kent is revealed and the town has turned out to celebrate Whitstable Town's FA Vars win. But first, a former cage fighter from Folkestone has been locked away in a psychiatric facility indefinitely after he attacked a stranger in the street. Kate has been following the story for the podcast. She's with me now with some more details. Kate, can you tell us when and where this attack happened?
Well, Kian Trotman was walking near the Canterbury Road Recreation Ground in the early hours of June 17th in 2023. A court heard how he asked a couple passing by if there was anywhere nearby he could buy alcohol, despite it being after midnight. As they were about to walk away, Mr. Trotman lashed out, hitting the man in the head twice and kicking him at least five times while he was on the ground.
And this left the victim with some very serious injuries, is that right?
Yes, that's right. The victim was Tony Straw and his partner witnessed the attack and dialed 999 as Tony lay unconscious. He was taken to hospital with a broken jaw and missing teeth and later needed an operation to insert wire, bolts and a metal plate into his head. He left him unable to eat solid food for 6 months and his partner says he's still having ongoing issues.
And what do we know about Kian's sentencing?
Well, his defence team told the judge Mr. Trotman is very unwell. Two clinicians gave evidence that he's suffering from paranoid schizophrenia and it's likely he was experiencing symptoms at the time of the offences. The court also heard he was non-compliant with his medication and it was also likely he'd been using substances at the time. The judge imposed a Section 37 hospital order with a Section 41 restriction. This essentially means the 38-year-old who lives in Ford Road South will be held at Broadmoor Hospital indefinitely. He'll stay there until he's deemed medically fit, with the Secretary of State for Justice or a tribunal still having to sanction his release.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and French officials say one person has died after a small boat attempted to cross the channel overnight. 62 people were reportedly pulled from the water after the vessel broke apart. A mother and child have been taken to hospital suffering from hypothermia. Seven fire engines have been sent to tackle a house blaze in Broadstairs. It broke out on King Edward Avenue late last night. Police were also called. We're told no one was injured. The family of a baby boy who died from a rare heart condition in Margate say they're hoping to get answers at an inquest this week. Lawyers have accused doctors of failing to properly diagnose Archie Squire despite more than 10 visits to A&E. Experts are due to give evidence to a coroner following his death in November 2023. Now, the new Reform UK leader of Kent County Council has appeared to backtrack on the party's plans to stop staff working from home. Nigel Farage said he wanted to get people back in the office following their success in the recent local elections. Well, Lyndon Kemp-Caron has been speaking on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
There are people who have been working in offices but who have been working from home, and that's become a very big part of the working culture in local government right across the country since the pandemic. And there are many folk at KCC who work away from County Hall for most of the time. Will people be put on notice to come back to HQ or even on a part-time footing?
Well, naturally, one of the first things I was asked when I took office was, what are my plans for working from home? Because, of course, the press loves to seize upon something like that and basically scare the wits out of everybody, saying, oh, your new reform leader is going to do this, this and this. I've got no such intentions to cause massive upheaval. Who would do that when they take over an organisation? Only a fool would come in and instantly put all their staff on the back foot by introducing measures that have really wide implications on people's personal lives. Because, of course, we're dealing with people here. We're not robots. We're not machines. We have an awful lot of working parents in KCC who also have caring responsibilities, not just for their children, but for elderly relatives. You know, that is a sad fact of modern life. So the last thing I'm going to do is start demanding that people have bums on seats arbitrarily. It is something I'm looking at. I have asked for the numbers of how many people do currently work from home, but I am a big believer in treating people like adults. I think you get the best out of people if you treat them like adults, engage in a dialogue about how things could be done better. But of course, my focus is on productivity and serving the people of Kent. That is at the core of everything I do and every decision I will make.
Kent Online reports.
A report into the death of an ex-prisoner who was found in a Chatham shopping centre has raised concerns about his monitoring. Patrick Whiting was on licence and living in Fleming House, a probation hostel in Maidstone. The police were called when the 66-year-old didn't arrive for curfew. The Ombudsman says staff should have used the data from his GPDS tag to find him sooner. It's been confirmed he died of natural causes. The driver of a school bus which ended up in a ditch along the A227 has been dismissed. An investigation by operator Redroute found it banked at the roadside following a period of excessive speed near Vigo on March the 10th. Around seven passengers were on the 308 service at the time, but there were no reported injuries. The bus company has apologised. Next today, and our campaign calling for reforms to who's eligible for a blue badge has been raised in the Commons by one of Medway's MPs. We want the system changed after hearing from a number of cancer patients who've been denied one. Now, here's the moment. It was mentioned in the House by Chatham and Aylesford's Tris Osborne.
The modernisation and introduction of the Blue Badge programme was a lasting legacy of the last Labour government. Can the Leader of the House confirm some time in the parliamentary timetable to discuss a cross-party campaign led by Kent MPs and the editor of my local paper, Matt Ramsden, to support the success of this scheme and to look at the eligibility to include time-limited conditions?
Yeah. Well, I'm well aware of the great campaigning that he and other Kent MPs and his local campaign, his local newspaper are doing around blue badges, which are vital to those who receive them. I'm sure it would get wide support if you wanted a further debate. I think we've already had a debate, but a further debate on these important matters.
The response there from Commons leader Lucy Powell. Or we can hear more now from Tris on how he's hoping the scheme would work if the campaign is successful.
The campaign is going to be focused on both a local solution and also a national resolution. So on a local basis, some councils across the country already have a discretionary equivalent to a blue badge for those with time-limited conditions, and they do issue those. And so we will ask Kent County Council, when they have got a portfolio holder for this area, whether they would consider a similar scheme, a discretionary scheme, which other councils have. But we also believe that there is a national issue here at play. It shouldn't be for councils necessarily to have all sorts of discretionary schemes, but we think actually national legislation should change so that we just open up the eligibility of an already existing legislated scheme to say that instead of just ensuring that this is for those only with long-term conditions, that we have another flexible option for those with time-limited conditions. So there is a national element to this, and that is the reason why I'm soliciting the support of both my own team, but also the opposition Conservative lead for Shadow Transport Secretary, as well as Liberal Democrats, because I believe there's a cross-party platform here to get these changes.
Now, if you've been affected by being denied a blue badge, we'd also love to hear from you and be able to share your story. You can email us. The address is news@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Kent Online reports.
The route for this year's Baton of Hope relay through Kent and Medway has been revealed. The Olympic torch-style baton will be passed to volunteers as it makes its way through Gillingham, Rochester, Maidstone, Canterbury and Margate. It's all to raise awareness of suicide prevention by encouraging everyone to talk openly about mental health struggles. Well, Kate's been chatting to Rob Brady from Canterbury, who's been chosen as a baton bearer.
The whole idea of it is to almost hold a baton, representatives, ambassadors, people in memory of others who have been lost to suicide, just doing a tour around the whole of the country between sort of different towns, just to visually represent what they're trying to do and trying to raise that awareness and obviously bring that stigma down.
And can you tell me a little bit about why you applied to be a baton bearer?
So it's been a journey. Since 2016, I lost my best friend to suicide. I'll be very honest with you, at a similar stage, being a male coming up to my late 20s, I didn't really discuss anything about my own mental health. I thought it was a sign of weakness, although I was suffering with myself. So sadly, with his loss, I was going down a similar sort of journey. So it's been a journey since 2016 where the loss of a friend has made you realise your own mental health. And so I do it in honour of him as an ongoing thing. 9 years later, the baton is being held in his honour.
And when people see, it is doing a bit of a tour around Kent and Medway. When people see the baton coming past and are aware of the relay, what are you hoping that they can take away from it?
I think it just comes down to the whole the baton of hope and a representative of that, especially if they're doing it in central places like, Canterbury, where the tour is going through Canterbury High Street, for example. It just brings a conversation around what this is, even if people don't know what it is, like this massive gold sort of baton walking through with people representative, their names on their chest of people who they have lost. It just opens up a different conversation that might not have taken place. And those are the conversations I think that are more vital than anything these days.
The Baton of Hope relay will be taking place in September. Elsewhere, vandals have destroyed a Samaritan's helpline sign in Rochester, near to the spot where a mum entered the River Medway. The sign was secured to a bollard on the Esplanade, close to where Stella Toner died in 2023. Samaritans say it was a senseless act of destruction, but will make sure their potentially life-saving message is still seen. A car sales company boss from Rootham has been told to repay £35,000 after claiming a COVID loan he wasn't entitled to. Investigators found Joseph Harrison took out two bounce-back loans when he was only supposed to have one. The 38-year-old ran Southeast Commercials Limited and is now living in Spain. He's also been banned from being a director for 12 years. A Sainsbury's in Maidstone has been given a poor hygiene rating after inspectors found mouldy produce and shelves. They visited the store in Romney Place in April following complaints from a shopper. The supermarket was given a score of 2 out of 5. Bosses say food safety is their highest priority and they're doing a deep clean and extra staff training.
Kent Online News.
Now, there are fears a hike in parking charges in Sandwich and Deal could impact the number of people visiting the towns. Short stay hourly prices are only increasing from £1.80 to £2, but long stay is going from £10.80 to £15. The council say the decision's been made following a comprehensive review looking at supply and demand and planning for the future. Well, our reporter Sam Lennon has been in Sandwich and first he caught up with Carol George, who's from the town team.
I think it will kill the town, and we put out a petition stroke survey to find out what people thought, and that was only well after we'd found out, which was sort of last week, that there were proposed charges. And we've probably to date had about 47 responses, more than half of those from business owners in the town, who are equally appalled by the proposals. I think footfall in the town has not been brilliant since COVID. It goes up and down. We have many festivals and activities to boost the tourism and support businesses, but charges of this kind are actually going to deter people from coming into the town, staying in the town and actually using our hostelries, our shops and so on. And businesses cannot keep affording to reduce that level of income or footfall because those increases are going up.
We can also hear from one of the traders in the town. Joe Quinn runs the Ironmongers.
It's ridiculous, to be honest. I mean, with such a small town that's already kind of struggling to get trade and footfall, it's kind of choking us, to be honest. I don't really see any need for it. It's already a nightmare to park here. It's already expensive, and to put the prices up even more is just going to deter people. And a lot of the local traders have already noticed a drop in footfall, and this is only going to make it worse, really.
You can let us know what you think by heading to the story at Kent Online, where we've got comprehensive coverage of all of the parking charges in that area. A parade's been held in Ramsgate to mark 85 years since Operation Dynamo. That's when hundreds of little ships crossed the channel to rescue soldiers from French beaches during the Second World War. A special service took place yesterday. A C of E school near Canterbury has been rated outstanding across the board in their first Ofsted inspection in 10 years. Wickenbrew Primary received the highest possible rating in its previous two visits in 2008 and 2015. The education watchdog was there last month and said it's a happy and nurturing school and staff are proud to work there. Bosses in Dartford are hoping to add nearly 140 new build homes to their stock of temporary accommodation. The council have entered into urgent negotiations to get the properties on their books in a bid to make sure in-need families are not replaced elsewhere. And there are plans to transform a barn near Folkestone into a countryside wedding venue. The owner of Longage Manor Farm in Liminch has submitted an application to change the use of the building. It could also host corporate events and community activities.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and disappointment for Maidstone United, who've missed out on the chance of promotion to the National League. They were beaten 1-0 away at Boreham Wood in yesterday's playoff final. Manager George Ellacobi told us how he was feeling after the match.
No, firstly, proud. Super proud of our squad, super proud of our football club as a whole, for how we've gone about the entire season. The season ain't going to be defined by today, of course. Yes, it's a cup finals. You want to try and get promoted. But more importantly, you got to look at, you know, the steps we've taken, the strides we've taken throughout the season and to where we was today until about 45 minutes ago. So immensely proud for what these players have given us and the quality throughout the season. And their togetherness and the unity as a football club is just one to be admired. You win some games and you lose some, but immensely proud of the group for the resilience they showed throughout the season. When we got into the playoffs, we kept that spot. We was in it for about, I think, 3.5 months. And that's, that takes some serious, resilience from the group and the quality we've shown. We've had to add to the squad when departures have been, and we've ensured that the players went out there and they showed a lot of quality, for the character that they've shown as well, and some of the football that we played home and away can be judged. It can be discredited. But more importantly, it's about making sure, we learn from moments like this, looking at the two away performances that we had, and then coming into this game against a good side, which I got, give credit to Luke and his boys, and Boreham Wood, congratulations to them, because it's important. They got that one moment and they took it in the game, and it was important that our heads didn't drop, and I thought we controlled, after going a goal down, we controlled possession and territory, and we forced them back. But then we didn't quite get that opening that we wanted to in the final. The final ball wasn't quite right. We didn't land on the seconds in the box. But again, our players left everything out on this pitch, and it's important that we look at it as a whole. So big congratulations to Boreham Wood, because this is why we're in football. We show up when we win, when we draw. More importantly, you have to show up and you have to pay them respect. And they're the promoted side, and that's, we're going to learn from this and spare us on. And, give us that little boost for next season.
Elsewhere, controversial plans to fence off a local field in Dartford and turn it into a football ground have been rejected for a second time. Fleetdown United FC had applied for permission to build a 3G pitch with floodlights and stands on Heath Lane open space. The idea was initially turned down in 2022 and has again been thrown out after being resubmitted. And finally, Whitstable Town's players have been on an open top bus parade through the town to celebrate their historic FA Vars win. They came from a goal down to beat AFC Whiteleaf 2-1 at Wembley, with the players, staff and that all-important trophy travelled through the streets on Saturday to the delight of fans.
They've all done really well and it's been so much fun watching them. They were the underdogs in the game, but they didn't look it. They were strong all the way through, so great for the town and great for the club.
Oh, it's just fantastic to watch the first team go and do that, and like you said already, that the inspiration for the boys, that they can actually go, that you can do this, you can do this kind of thing, you can aspire to play at Wembley and go on to win. That's fantastic, especially for our boys.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I'm born and bred, so lived here all my life, and I think it's quite an achievement. Fair play on them. Good boys.
I think the team deserve it, because they put so much effort in on Sunday. It was amazing. So hopefully everyone comes out to support, and then we'll go to the Belmont and have a nice afternoon. I've been coming down to watch the first team for the last few years, and they're like superstars to these little 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. It's amazing. They're so good with the kids, and it's such a big youth club. And all the kids are absolutely buzzing by it. I think my whole team, they all went pretty much, and then we all spoke about it Wednesday on training, and how much they loved it. And yeah, they're like superstars in their eyes.
KMTV's Bartholomew Hall joined the celebrations and spoke to player manager Jamie Coyle.
Unbelievable to bring the whole town together and just see the amount of people on the streets is just, it's phenomenal. It really is a proud moment for everyone.
And of course for your career as well, an open top bus parade, just to sort of, you know, tie it off, what does it mean for you personally?
Well yeah, it's been a long time coming, obviously 25 year career, but to see what it means to everyone involved is you know, it's fantastic, and really really proud to deliver this to the town.
And what do you hope that it will leave behind? I know there's so many youngsters here that are looking up to these guys as their heroes today.
I think ultimately you want to retain the people that were there at Wembley, the people that are there today, and that will help build the football club for the future. So that's the biggest aim for us, and we just want to get more people through the gates week in, week out next year and help us win the league.
He also caught up with Steve Clayton, the club's chairman.
Oh, what a crowd. I mean, the support that came out was just unbelievable. We were hoped for a large number, wasn't expecting that, and wasn't expecting those scenes, and just fantastic. I mean, as I keep saying and repeating, the support we've got and the support from the town and everybody in the town and the staff, the players, everything's been fantastic. And a moment I'm never going to forget, going on that bus, going through the town where I've lived all my life, to see all those people come out and support our football team was just fantastic.
Yeah, and of course the Vars has brought all of these celebrations here today, but it also brings £30,000 back to the club. What could we see that turn into?
Well, there's lots to always do in a non-league football club. You need every penny you can get. You know, we've been fortunate enough to win a lot of prize money along the way. Total's about £45,000. But coming with that is a lot of expenses as you go, you know, coaches, hotels, etc. So, you know, we'll invest that money wisely into the club, as we always do. Every penny we make here goes back into the club. We're totally run by volunteers. So that's one of the joys of doing the club, that we continue to build and improve the facilities, improve the training and coaching for our youth. Every bit goes back into it, and it just makes us a better club as we go along our journey.
And you can see pictures from the day by heading to the website. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.